You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show with Dr. Pat Allen. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of Dr. Pat Allen Wan Institute. We are so fortunate to have myself and Kelly Ward on tonight to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show is 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected to the show. Please make sure you pick up the call back and enter this number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. Before we take your questions, I want to tell you about our sponsor, the Wan Institute. The Wan Institute currently provides facilitators that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of Wan training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. Again, the call-in number is 323-203-0815. If you want information about the Wan Institute services, you can reach me at the office at 949-723-0338, or you can email me at info@drpatallen.com. Currently, Dr. Allen has ladies groups, however, they're full, and it's very unfortunate that she does not have room for new attendees, but I'm taking over by offering a drop-in ladies group every month, a couple times a month. It's a $10 donation to the Wan Institute. If you want information on attending my drop-in ladies groups, you can email me at info@drpatallen.com. And tonight on the radio show, we have Kelly Ward and myself to take your questions, and we hope we get some call-ins. Kelly, are you there?
I'm here, Sue. How's it going?
Perfect. Hopefully we'll get some calls. I've got the book, The Answers by Dr. Pat Allen, and it's got just little tidbits. So while we're waiting for callers, I want to just go over a couple of quick little tidbits. Let's see.
Okay, great. And I have three ladies that have specifically asked a question that I'll ask for them.
Oh, okay. Go ahead then. Oh, go ahead.
Okay,
go
ahead. So three of my ladies have called me and said, we would like to hear on the radio the steps for the hi-fi letter. And so we haven't heard it in a while, and we'd like to go over and hear the five paragraphs and the why and the how.
Oh, okay.
I thought it would be perfect for you to swing that bat.
Okay. There's different formats, though. There's a hi-fi letter that if the guy left you, and then there's a format letter if you did something, the lady did something to push the guy away. There's two different ends of the format. And then there's also a format to somebody, let's say you had an old boyfriend that you're still thinking about, that you can't get out of your head, and you're wondering if you could get him to come back. So there's kind of like the endings are all a little different. So I'll go through them. If you were with a guy, and he went away just because he, you know, you'd been dating a couple months and he just disappeared, or he didn't think that you were, you know, whatever it was. The first paragraph is what you loved and liked about him. The second paragraph is the pain you had. You list everything about the pain. Maybe he didn't call you on time, he ignored you, blah, blah, blah. Then the third paragraph is what you want in a relationship, in your any relationship, your ideal relationship. Fourth paragraph is what you want, what you don't want in a relationship. Then in this example, the last one, you would put the thank you for helping, thank you for this painful lesson so I never have to repeat it again, meaning that she may have contributed to, you know, him. It kind of develops, he may not have been the right guy for her, and he led her on, and now she's understanding that he's not the right guy, so she's thanking him for this painful lesson, and so she never repeats it again. Now that opens the door that if he does want to be her man, he can come back. And then the second format is the fifth paragraph would be, let's say the woman did a lot of stupid things by pushing the man, controlling, doing stupid things, and she wants to make an amends. The fifth, she does the same, one, two, three, four, the same format. The fifth paragraph would say, I want to make an amends apology for my, and she lists what she knows that she did to ruin the relationship. And she says, I made a mistake and thank you for this painful lesson so I never repeat it again. She can say that, or she can also say, can I have a second chance? And then it's up to the man to come back. So those are the two types of format. And then if it's an old boyfriend or lover from years ago, you still do the same thing and you do this, you the fifth paragraph, because maybe you left it with unfinished business. You do the same as you did to the number one high bye. You say, thank you for this painful lesson. I just want to let you know, thank you for reading this letter. Thank you for this painful lesson so I never have to repeat it again. And that way she's able to let go of that relationship and move forward. Sometimes the guys call back or come back and then they start the relationship over. So that's the format. And if you want to call the office, I'm happy to give you the written dialogue. And sometimes I'm even willing to read and approve of your letter if it's not 3 or 4 pages. So with that,
Kelly, I love that. They're looking for a cheat sheet. So that's perfect.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's different formats. You can use the high buy. I've even had ladies do the high buy when they're trying, you know, they pushed a guy away and the guy wants, there's so many different formats you use the high buy letter for. It's amazing. The only thing is that masculine women have a hard time being vulnerable and expressing that they may have screwed it up. Their ego gets in the way. Well, I don't want him to think I'm weak. I don't want anybody else to read the letter. I don't want him to do this. So you've got to get over your ego and be vulnerable to send this letter as well. And be open and receptive to what may or may not happen. He may not call back. And he may.
Right. And that goes with our passive, patient, and vulnerable. That's one of the things that they also get. You know, I get my ladies coming back to me at week 3, week 5, and I'm like, 8 weeks. 8 weeks. And sometimes longer, but typically 8 weeks. But I've had guys come back 18 months, 2 years, even one time 5 years later.
And, you know, with everybody asked me, all the ladies are like, oh, well, is it worth doing? You know, is he going to come back? I think it's 80%. They do come back, even if it's just to say, I'm sorry, but I've moved on. What is your number?
I wouldn't say that it's probably between 65 and 75, somewhere in there. It varies. And sometimes I find that they come back and then they find again that either or the other still is incompatible. On the other hand, when they come back and they're both compatible, both of them have had what I call an emotional growth spurt where they figured stuff out. You know, you're definitely not the same person.
Hold that thought. We have a caller here. Caller, you're on there. Kelly and Sue, do you have a question for us?
I do have a question for you.
Okay, thank you for calling. What's your question?
Oh, you're welcome. My question is a family matter related, and relationships.
Okay.
So if your husband is noticing a pattern with your family kind of putting a strain on your relationship, do you choose your husband or your family?
Your husband. You cleave to your husband.
100% your husband.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. They have their own life. They built their life, probably honoring, you know, your mother, she probably honored your father over his parents and her parents, hopefully.
Right.
So you do the same. And when your kids grow up, their wives are gonna, you know, they have to have their own life too. You and the dad can't be a part of their life. You know, she's got her husband she'll have to cleave to as well.
True. And then what about...
In the end, the family's going to go off and do their own thing. Parents are going to pass. Your mate is who you're supposed to be with and who you, you know, you've joined your life with. So they should be your number one.
Right. This is a general question, something that I've been recollating on. What is the appropriate amount of time to date before one should be monogamous? Because I feel like I have a lot of girlfriends that get upset that the guy's going on dates with other women. And I'm like, but you guys aren't monogamous. You guys aren't in a committed relationship. There's really no time frame. I mean, everybody's free to date until you get engaged, right?
Well,
or until you have that conversation.
That's true. But so many women, they go out with a guy they like, and then they have a fantasy of instant monogamy, but they haven't done the talk to consummate it with the other partner. So they truly believe that he went out with me, I like him, so he's mine. But they'd never had a talk. And I would say it's good to wait a couple weeks. Some people, they can consummate it in day one. There's nothing, you know, you really need to get to know the person a little bit, but there is no time frame. Some people wait 3 months, some wait 6. I have some women, before they even have sex, they're a year.
Okay.
But they're monogamous. But they just haven't had sex. But, you know, they're exclusive. Everybody has their own, you know, sometimes religions, they cleave to each other without having sex, but they are committed and exclusive. And sometimes they're even engaged without having sex.
Yeah, but if he's still dating, there's no reason for her to be monogamous. She should be dating too. Dating is really, you know, it's like I always say to my ladies, do you walk in a store and put on one pair of shoes and buy them and walk out? What are the chances of that? So, you know, dating isn't supposed to be about, you know, dick down. Dating's supposed to be like, you know, you go to dinner with Steve and you go to the movies with Bob and you have a picnic with Mike. You're not doing anything untoward or sexual with them. You're simply having a date. You have compatibility and chemistry. So if he's jealous of that, she should be the best, you know, she should be the best woman. May the best woman win.
Yes.
Oh, that's true.
And remember, the women pick the men. Men try to peacock with us, prove that they're the best man. They, you know, they run around and brag about their cars, their houses, how much money they have. That's to win the woman over.
Right.
So maybe, you know, I don't know, if your friend wants to call us, we'll help her, you know, understand the dynamics of dating, or she can drop into my ladies groups and we go over that all the time.
Wonderful. Well, thank you guys.
Okay. Thank you for the call in.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you, caller.
Thank you. That was a good question. So,
that was a really good question.
You know, that goes into, you know, where the thing about the Pat has that, where it's the family, how they have the family systems. I don't have the chart, but sometimes the mom is in charge of the kids and her husband and, you know, everybody's family. There's one.
Right, the extended family and the nuclear family,
and the cellular family. Yeah, so, that's part of that thing, but, yeah. But, you know,
well, that's happening a lot in this day and age because of the economy. Not a lot of people can live alone on their own by themselves, afford rent or a mortgage or this or that and the other, so families are now, you know, co-living. Parents and children and even grandchildren all living together. So, and I get that, but it's a change. It's a difference.
Yes, it is. But, and still whoever, I that must be hard for the men because whoever like owns the house is still the leader. He's like the leader of the place because, you know, everybody's under his roof. So you might say he's the king and they're the
what right, whether it's the patriarch or the matriarchal type of situation, whoever whoever's the one that puts in the most, you know, the most ingredients gets the biggest piece of pie. So that's the thing about it.
Other people fall in rank.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, it's like a kingdom or a fiefdom. So it's definitely like that. Yeah. So I think that has an effect with nowadays how that's handled. If it's a co-family living, it's one thing. But if you're, you know, off on your own with your mate and you're not living with your parents or anything like that, which, like I said, many people are having to do that right now, then that has to be taken into consideration.
Yes, yes.
You know, you have to pick your battles, because some battles you're never going to win.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like I said, you've got to pick your battles.
Yeah. So do you have another question? You said you had three from your ladies.
The big one was the high buy letter. One of the questions was, and I've already answered, but I'd love you to answer on the air, is the high buy letter an appropriate tool to use when you are having problems with a coworker or a boss?
I don't think so. I think you use the stroke and stand to go in on there. And there's the format in the tools. And there's examples on our website, drpatallen.com. Dr. Allen demonstrates the stroke and stand. If you're having a problem with a coworker, because everybody's masculine there, you've got to go up and you stroke them. What you know, appreciate, you make an appointment that you want to talk to them, and then you stroke them. You know, you have every right to blah, 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 whatever the problem is. And then you go in and say your stand. However, I'm not comfortable with you bossing me around, telling me what to do, or taking the credit for my work. And then you make the cleanup. What do you think about not doing that anymore? And if you continue, I will have to go to the management. So there's a format for that. But the high buy letter is not for work related stuff. Is that
I agree with you 100%. However, the next lady, also related to the high buy letter, says, can I write a high buy letter to my brother and my sister? There's been a breakdown in the family ever since the death of the parents. And now there's a lot of infighting between the brother and the sister. And she wants to know if she can use the high bye to communicate with both of them.
No, I had somebody that was fighting with their sister about land. And the sister and her husband were trying to boss her around. And she had to make a stand. The high bye letter is not to do with that. If there's a problem in the family, it depends on the situation. She doesn't have to like the problem or what they're doing, but she can address it and try to come to a conclusion on working a win-win, and then see if they'll come to the table to negotiate. But some people don't want to negotiate, and there's not much you can do about that. And then you may have to set a price. Whatever that price is, if it's something in the family, you may never be able to see them again if they're non-compliant to work things out. It's kind of hard if you don't know. I don't know what the situation is. Sometimes it's about money, inheritance. Somebody wants to.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening right now is the inheritance thing. Well,
yeah.
And you can't disengage when you're going through like probate and things like that. You have to have communication. So.
Yeah.
My suggestion was amigo talk, stroke and stand, and then worst case scenario, if you break off your relationship with them completely and lawyers and things of that nature get involved, then you can write a high buy letter at that point in time when the relationship is completely severed. But
yeah,
but premature now.
But if it's somebody has to be in charge of the estate, so you go in and you make your stroke and stand and clean up and hope that they come to the table. And if they don't, then you do it again. And they say, no, we're not doing it your way. You say, OK, I understand. I appreciate. Thank you for listening. However, since we cannot work together, I will be hiring an outside source to do this. You have to get somebody higher than the three of them fighting it out.
Yeah, they all have attorneys, but they're all being their own lawyers by butting in on the attorneys and not allowing them to do what they do professionally for a living every day as probate attorneys.
Well, then one person can say, hey, you know what? I appreciate we all want to have our way, but we're eating up all of our profits. So what do you think about maybe getting one attorney and we'll try do our best to hash it out?
Yeah.
You know, it's called, there's doing emotional communication where everybody's putting their thoughts in. I want. And nobody's giving anybody else, you know, ideas or a structure to communicate rationally. So it's all.
Interestingly enough, none of them are innocent in the situation. They're all emotionally blackmailing each other.
I know. So unfortunate, that's what we teach, is how to communicate rationally, not emotionally. Even though you know they're wrong, we know they're wrong, we can communicate to make it a win. You're okay to be okay. I'm okay, you're okay. Everybody has the thing is, I'm okay, you're not okay. You want to make it an I'm okay, you're okay. Even if you don't believe they're okay, they have a right to think, feel, act, or be.
Right. But yeah. I said, oh, well, this is, you know, Family Feud. So, and yeah. It's funny because I worked in law, you know, for about 1 million years.
Yeah.
And everybody would say, what's the scariest kind of law? It must be criminal. And I say, no, it isn't. It's wills and probate. Wills and probate. The most violent, angry law you can deal with and practice with. So. Criminal law is nothing. They know they broke the law. They're just like, okay, I'm going to jail.
Oh, everybody. You know, somebody gets more. Somebody didn't get enough. That's not fair. I deserve more. There's always a fight. Always.
No doubt. Okay. I love it.
With my dad.
What do you have for us?
What?
Oh, yeah. And throw that number out there so they can know where we're at.
The call-in number for our show tonight is 323-203-0815. Remember, Sam at the switchboard sees your number, and then he calls you back to be on the show. So please make sure you pick up the callback number. So while we're waiting for that, we had good questions, Kelly. That kept a good little teaching moment there. Okay, so yeah. I picked up Dr. Allen's book, The Answers. It's got just little gems of... quotes from her, and I'm gonna pull one up. Think about
awesome.
Let me see. I wanna. Okay. Here's one. It says, "Oh, we have a caller. You cut it, caller. You're on the air with Kelly and Sue. Do you have a question?"
Hey, ladies. I do have a question. I also have an update.
Oh, okay.
Yay!
I can't remember if it was Kelly or Patricia that was on the call with you last time, but I was basically traveling to do sort of like a hometown date with two gentlemen that I was dating and deciding between. And so both of the hometown dates went really great. And one gentleman lives where I live and then the other one doesn't. So the one that lives in another space had said, this went really great. I really like you. I could see spending the rest of my life with you. And then after the trip, I have barely heard from him. I mean, we used to FaceTime every day, and we've had like two phone conversations in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And not FaceTime.
Yeah.
And
what about the other?
Sometimes he's distracted.
Sometimes men test themselves after they've been with you. And what they'll do is... they'll do what I call the float away, and they'll see inside themselves, do they like being without you? Can they survive without you? Do they miss you? And that's one of the things that we, you know, Pat talks about. Too much togetherness dulls the intimacy. You know, you never long to see that person because you're always with that person. So this is what I would call sometimes it's a, you know, a litmus test, a thermometer to see where he's really at and what he's really feeling. I wouldn't take it too hard. He's still communicating. He's not 100% not communicating. So now it's passive patient vulnerable time. What do you think, Sue?
Yes, but what about the second guy you went out with? You only told us about the guy that's hurting you. What about the other guy? How did he pull through?
This is true, but too much togetherness, as she was mentioning. He lives in a different state, so I think there's not too much togetherness.
Yeah,
we don't
okay.
see each other, but every you, yeah, couple weeks or whatever.
You said there were two guys. But, went with two different guys.
But yes, so the other one, he is really super sweet, really great, just has a different lifestyle sort of than I wanted. But I think I could possibly adapt, or maybe he would be able to step up a little differently. But he is ready to commit and is just waiting for me to be ready.
Well, let me ask you something. So, what is the lifestyle that you want? Let's analyze that.
I just have always wanted somebody who could provide more for me than I could for myself. So at my age, almost 40, I was like, I want a guy that has a bigger, nicer house than I have already provided for myself, and, you know, keeps it tidy and clean and keeps it how I sort of like. So the previous guy, or the guy number two, I guess, in out of town, he has that, the house that is bigger and clean and nice and tidy, and I could move right in and be really comfortable. But the one here, I like his heart, and I like a lot more of him. I was like, can I combine them?
But no, dear, you pick the person and you pick the person, not what they have. Because whether he has a big house, that's not, you're not falling in love with the house. You got to fall in love with the person.
Well, I also like him. That was the thing. Oh, but he's great too and wonderful too.
Yeah, but the guy that has the perfect house isn't coming to the table.
Exactly. So now that I've seen this, so
the guy that doesn't have a big house, women set the standard. It's up to you to say, I'd love to be with you, but I'd feel more comfortable, you know, living in a nicer house. So I feel comfortable. You have to kind of tell them what you want and what you don't want.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
So now I was feeling like, he's really sweet. I had set a boundary because in your ladies group, you helped me the other night set a boundary with his work schedule and him getting called into work.
That you said, so, wanted him to mind read.
Yeah. So I said, when he first showed up to pick me up for the date, he's like, what's wrong? And I was like, how can you tell something was wrong? And he said he could just tell. And I said, well, nothing's really wrong. I said, I just have something to share from my heart. And you know, when you got called into work, blah, 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 it feels like you're choosing your work instead of me. You're saying yes to work, no to me. I said, I don't feel safe moving forward in a romantic, committed relationship if I don't ever feel like I'm going to be put first. This feels scary to me.
Perfect.
Work
script.
Is always going to be number one.
Perfect. I hope it. Yes. And how did it work out?
And so he said, oh my gosh, you're always so nice. Even when I get called in, I had no idea you were hurt and your feelings were hurt. I'm so sorry.
If you don't speak up, they don't know they're hurting you. You have to have a voice of what you want and what you don't want. So he stepped up, hopefully.
Yes. Okay. So he said, I'm so sorry. I don't want to hurt you. And I'm glad you told me. Next time in the moment, will you please tell me how you're feeling? Because I never want to make you feel sad. And he said, if you're ready, I'm ready. I'm ready to get you a promise ring, whatever you need to show you that, you know, I'm all in. You can move in. You can do whatever you want, whatever helps you so that you have to pay less bills, this and that.
Well, there he is.
He just said, I just want you to love me as much as I love you already.
Well, okay. So, you know, there's something. You always want a man that loves you more because they'll want to do everything to protect, provide, and make sure that you're happy. So if he's got a dumpy house, you know, maybe for a month or two, you're going to have to transition to build up. But I'm sure he's willing to do that if it makes you happy. Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, the outside of the house is beautiful. It just needs an inside remodel.
Well, you know, tell them that's a requirement. I'd love to move in with you. However, I can't. I have to live in a comfortable environment. What do you think about remodeling or getting some new furniture? You design what you want.
Okay, so I will do that. So my
Speak up.
You might even try, maybe if you would like to say things, maybe we could do the remodel together. We could choose things together as a unit. Then it would be yours and his together.
Okay.
Most women are in charge of the household, and the men are in charge of the work, because women have to, you know, they're in charge of the home life and safety, you know, the sensual sexual part. So when the man comes home, he wants a happy wife and a nice home. So she's the home builder. That's your job.
Yes, and that's definitely what he wants.
Yes.
And that's what I want. And he's okay with me working a little bit, like whatever makes me happy. But I think he's just excited and ready to have a wife. He's like, I want to have babies with you as soon as possible.
You know what? I'm very happy to hear this. I'm not. I've worked with you for a year. What did, haven't I? It was up and down and around, but you got it.
Yeah, I think July will be 2 years.
Oh, okay. I'm not counting.
But we got me out of the toxic situation.
We got you out of
the healthy ones. You know what I mean?
You know what? You're always going to get into a couple, but you got out of them and you moved forward. But I just don't want you to keep thinking there's a guy better and better and better. Be, you know, because a lot of women do that and then they end up alone. And then they wish they would have went with that guy. That's the sad part. It's how much is enough.
That is very true.
Yeah. I mean,
I like what you said about he's got them loving you more.
He's willing to commit. Sounds like he'll give you the word. The only thing is women have to speak up and you have to have a voice. So, and the way you communicate that voice is very important. And you know the tools to communicate. You don't bark orders. You're a rational communicator. You learned that.
Yes, we stroke and stand.
Yes.
So, bachelor number two has been texting me now a lot more this week, and he's coming next week. He skipped his trip here this week, but he would normally be here for work. And he's like, just want to let you know I'm going to be here next week on these 4 days. I would love to see you. I can't wait to kiss you. I've been missing you so much. I miss your face. All this stuff. And so now I'm like, okay, what am I going to say?
Well, you know what? How long have you been dating this guy that's just coming here now?
I started dating them both the same time, 4 months.
Okay. But I thought the first guy, the one that lives close to you, you've known longer though. Haven't you known him longer?
Yes, I have known him longer. And we dated for a couple months a year ago and a couple months, like a couple years before that.
History with him. I'm just going to tell you this one guy, and from what you've told me, he's been married and blah, blah, blah. I don't, you know, does he want to be married like tomorrow?
Probably not tomorrow.
Well,
but I had told him up front, I don't want to date more than a year without being engaged. And then when I had said that, I said, I wouldn't want to date more than a year without being married. And he said, well, at my age, it would be more like 6 months later, because why wait a year?
If you want to push for the ring now from him and he's your better man, you can ask for the ring and flush it out and see if he's really committed. But if he is, then you're going to be with him. It sounds like you want to be with the guy that's coming and going, because he's got the fancier house and the jet set lifestyle.
I do like that, but I did test out the other one. I told him that we're taking a family vacation and was like, would you like to come with me? You know, not till December. And he's like, yes. And he doesn't like to travel because he's afraid, but he's willing.
That's the guy number two, the one that lives close to you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you who to pick, but I do have the one that I've watched you with, and I know how the other guys turn out with you. So I have my pick, but it's your decision. I picked the safe.
What do you mean? You know how you pick the safe one?
I would pick the one that you have that you've known for a while, and he's stepping up and wants it now. The other one is proving a little bit of flipping back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
That to me would be scary.
Yeah, when he's not consistent.
He might be testing you, but then again, he might not be ready. And I think you told me something else about the number two that wasn't very appealing either, about past girlfriends calling in.
Yes, I did. Yep.
That would be scary to me, too.
That seemed a little drama. Right? I know. So
there's a little bit that you left out that I know of.
There's a little bit you know that not everybody knows. Yes, that is true. Okay. Yeah.
You could be one of those girls that those other girls were drama with in a couple months. It's a couple girls, so it seems to be a pattern.
Okay, so script-wise.
Kelly,
do you want to
chime in?
Who do you think you can build with better and stronger? You know, I'll tell you, it's funny. Sometimes temptations come and they destroy the really good thing because they've got this flash and this gleam that the other person has solidity and dedication. That flash and gleam looks great for a minute, but it isn't always solid.
That's a good interpretation.
Right? Sometimes it's a test.
Who do you see yourself waking up with? Who do you see yourself laughing at a picnic, being silly and, you know, maybe making a mud pie with? Or, you know, who do you see pushing the baby carriage? Who do you see would get up in the night with you when the baby's sick? Who is that person? Who is that person?
Right. That is a good point. Those are good things to think about.
Who do you see yourself waking up with every morning and saying, you know what, this is my person. They may not be perfect, but they're perfect for me.
Yes, everything's a little complicated, but which set of problems do you want to choose? Okay, so question for the both of you.
Okay.
For the script. So for guy number two, whatever, the out-of-towner.
Okay.
Like, what would be a script for, like, if I'm deciding to go with the other guy, which I'm like 99%, I think I want to be with the safe one because he's so adorable and like adores me so much. And I know that and it feels good with him. So I'm like 99% sure there. But if I wanted to do the promise ring script with the other one, what would you say either way if I, you know, in case I changed my mind?
Do you want, I'll go first. So if the other guy, you want to commit to the guy that lives closer and let the other guy down, you would say,
so how do you let him down?
You would still do the stroke and stand. You know, I really appreciate getting to know you. However, unfortunately I'm more attracted to this other gentleman that I've been dating. He's offering me more and I feel more compatible with him. You have to, and then if this number, the guy from out of town really wants you, he will step up and try to win you over. Kelly, what would you tell her? What would you tell her?
I'm going to agree if you want to pose it that way. Here's the thing. If you want to be with the 99er, which is almost a sure thing, like a good 100% bet, then I think you just have to be honest with the out-of-towner. I think you just have to say, here's the thing. You know, I've been very upfront about what I'm looking for. And, you know, I'm dating. And there's a person in my life who is ready. And I'm ready. So I've really enjoyed dating you, but I don't want to lead you on.
Yes,
so
I don't. Lead you on.
He's given me an engagement ring.
Yes.
And then if there's really something there and he really wants to go for it, he will. He'll come up to bat and he'll swing. Then you'll have another decision to make.
Yes.
But you can't eat your cake and have it too. Many people say can't have your cake and eat it too, but you can't eat your cake and still have your cake. It just doesn't work that way. And it's not fair, really.
That makes sense. So if you tell a guy that, it doesn't make him upset that you've been dating other people, even though you're not
because we don't know. He never committed. If he wanted you exclusive, he could have taken you off the market right up front.
Okay.
We talked about the shirt. Everybody's
the man, the sure thing, he's already said it. He wants to take you off the market. You just told us he's waiting for you.
Yeah.
He's already committed. He's waiting for you to commit.
Yeah.
This other guy hasn't proposed anything to you yet. He said he wants to be married in 6 months, but those were words. There's no action. I don't see any actions. He could have taken you off the market day one when he met you. Hey, I don't want you dating anybody else. If he was really serious, men do that. They know what they want the minute they see you.
So if they're taking a while, then they aren't into it, really?
It could be either or you're not required.
Well, they're not necessarily sure yet, or they don't think they have any competition.
You don't have boundaries to let them know what you want and not want. You're going with the flow, hoping they'll pick you, but you're the one that picks them.
You are the ultimate decision maker. You have the veto right. You have the no right. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. We have the right to say no. And no is a complete answer. It doesn't even need a quantification. We make the decision, yes or no.
That's why Dr. Allen says date three people, because the best one will come to the surface.
So what if I don't want...
Two is 50-50. There's always, with the three, there's a tiebreaker. So there's that.
I did have a third in the mix-ish, but he doesn't want to have children, so that was my deal breaker.
Well, he bitched himself, didn't he?
He said there's nothing you could say to change my mind about wanting a child.
Well, so he took himself out. But we don't know if this guy out of town can take it. Can he have kids with you ASAP?
Yeah, he could.
Yeah. Okay.
He could.
And has he portrayed, hey, I want to marry you right now and live happily ever after? Has he talked like that? Because men talk like that.
No, he has not.
They
he just
talk
said
like
I could
that,
be
dear.
Spending the rest of my life with you.
Yeah, but you know what? A lot of men say that too, to get into your pants and tell you what they think you want to hear.
That's true.
Yeah.
So what if I don't want to give him the opportunity to step up? Because if I'm ready to commit to the other one, then I don't want him to be like, here's a ring too, and have to be like, no, sorry, I committed to somebody else.
No, because around it? You're starting to be afraid to hurt men. You'd rather hurt yourself than hurt this man. You have to cause other people pain in order to take care of yourself.
But you also don't have to give the outer towner the opportunity to offer you a ring. You can just simply say, you know what? I've made a decision. I've really enjoyed my time with you. I don't want to lead you on. I hope that we can be friends, but we can't be anything more. And you don't have to even say anything else about the other man or the ring or anything.
Yes. Yes. That's all you have to say. So you're not requiring him to go get you a ring for competition.
Okay.
You don't have to have him if you don't want him to step up. And if he chooses to step up, that's his own free will. It's nothing to do with what you requested of him.
Okay.
And at that point, you would have already made your decision. So your answer will still be unequivocally, no, I can't do it. No.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with saying no. There's nothing wrong with saying no. You have that right.
There's nothing wrong. And you do not feel guilty about it. And you do not take care of his feelings over and above your own. Never.
Okay.
Will you call us back next week and let us know what you decided?
Dun, dun, it's like the ABC Bachelorette. When next week, you'll know.
looking forward to it.
Oh my gosh, me too. I'm feeling less stressed about it. So
yeah,
good.
I think you're making a wise decision. A lot of women, like Kelly said, they pick the gleaming over there. And they don't really know too much about that gleaming. It's just, ooh, I like that. And they run over there. And the steady person over here that cannot give them what they want, what they really want, they go for, you know, the other one that sometimes ends in disaster. And then they're left with sadness and sorrow because the other guy moved on to another girl who will live happily ever after.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. Would you rather be, you know, I'm the person that chooses holding hands over bottles of champagne. You know, I want somebody solid, somebody that I can say, I'm feeling broken and hurt, and I need you to wrap your arms around me, and they're ready, willing, and able to do it. That's how somebody that feeds your soul, not just your bank account.
Yeah, it's
a good thing. Hey, Sue, it looks like we're running out of time.
Yep, we're running out of time. Caller, we thank you for calling, and we hope that you'll call us in next week.
We want to hear it.
Audience might want to hear this update. There's a lot of women that are just like this.
Yeah,
great story. Well, I'll call back.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, I want to just comment on that. That seems to be, you know what, there's so many, it's still her decision, but I have so many women want the flashy, fun, you know, playboy, sweep them off their feet, travel the world, and it usually doesn't end very well.
Yeah, well, you know, it's difficult sometimes, and the flashy is interesting, it's exciting, it's other, but at the end of the day, what are you really looking for? Are you looking for a family or looking to have children? You know, then you're probably not going to be some erudite world traveler.
Yeah.
You know, and it's nice to walk into a situation where it's financially comfortable, but there is something to building together and being able to say, we built this together.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that's most important to me.
Okay. Well, we want to thank our audience for tonight and all the callers, and we hope to have you back next week. Dr. Allen does make appearances once in a while. She is going to turn 90 this year in September. So every so often she pops in, but we're here, me, Kelly, and Patricia Eltidge. We're taking over and hopefully carrying on her message, and we hope to help everybody as best we can. So I want to say good night. Kelly, you want to say anything?
Yes, I want to say we have groups. We have groups forming and developing. Reach out. We got to have a lot of fun. We're talking about duty dating. We're talking about getting to I do. And we're talking about staying married and loving it. And we want to talk with you guys about it. We love you. We'll be back soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.